I tell you, the moment I heard that, I about collapsed, right? Because I'm like, oh my Lord, Dolly Parton's going to be in my funeral home. What do I do?
We've got an infamous funeral director, I would say, today, Yasi. She's worked with quite an incredible case of situations. Some would say infamous, if you will. Yasi, I want to hear your most infamous story about funeral service. Have you done anything crazy? Seems like you might have.
Well, being in the industry for about 9 years, I mean, I've had some crazy stories and families up my belt, but the craziest thing that I've experienced being out here in Nashville is, you know, a lot of high profile encounters. You know, the most famous of which, I was taking care of a gentleman who was very famous in the country music world. He was a banjo player. Come to find out, he was very close to Dolly Parton.
No
kidding. And yes, she made a brief appearance to pay her respects at his service at my funeral home in Nashville. And when I tell you I about fainted.
Wow. Give us the full story. So what was it like meeting her, having her at a funeral service? It must have been, I mean, a surreal, like she's like the most famous country singer of all time, borderline. So tell us how that was. What was that experience like?
So to not go into too many details, I was taking care of a gentleman, of course, that played on a lot of her records. He Nice. Had, of course, his own trail that he left here in the country music industry, especially in Tennessee. And he passed away back in the Midwest, and the family wanted to handle his service out here in Nashville because, of course, he had a lot of connections.
Sure.
Well, at the time I was working the service, and, you know, I'm just kind of making my way up and down the aisles, making sure everybody's doing okay. I'm just kind of, you know, floating around the lobby. And then this gentleman in a suit walks in and he approaches me and says, "Hey, I'm Dolly Parton security. I just need to be able to scope out the perimeter just to make sure that Miss Dolly can come on in and greet the, I don't even know if he said Miss Dolly. I think he said Miss Parton.
I like
can Ms. come greet the family. I know. to come pay respects to the family and just briefly leave in and out maybe 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh, absolutely. But I tell you, the moment I heard that, I about collapsed, right? Because I'm like, oh my Lord, Dolly Parton's going to be in my funeral home. What do I do?
Was it crazy in there? Like, did people go nuts when they saw her? I mean, it had to have been a scene, I'd imagine.
Well, it wasn't a terrible scene because, I mean, there was a medium amount of attendance. You know, quite a few people and family were there. But when she walked in, I mean, of course, it's like a vision. Who doesn't love Dolly Parton?
Yeah.
She is just adorable and very cordial. She shook my hand and put her arm around me as we're walking towards the chapel. So, yeah, it was surreal. And of course, later on, I'm kind of standing in the back monitoring, making sure everything's going smooth. She's literally going up and down and taking pictures with everybody. She's so sweet.
That's amazing. You love to hear that, like famous people that are genuine in real life. It just, mm-hmm. there's something really special about that. And that's what, that makes you like that person a million times more. Now you're probably the biggest Dolly Parton fan of all time after that.
Oh, if I didn't love Dolly way back then, I most certainly am a huge fan of hers now. You know what I mean? And I made sure to tell her, "Hey, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're able to come out." And I hope she was okay with me talking to her and saying that to her, because of course I'm trying to be professional, give her space.
Right. That's like the thing of it is when there's famous people at services, not that I've had too many overall, but you have to maintain a line of respect because you're in such a serious situation. So you can't really have mm-hmm. a mob scene of people flooding someone. So it's that fine line. And just what a cool experience. Is that a normal thing? Like for your funeral home, do you get a lot of high profile? I've always found it interesting, the funeral homes that are able or that do get the calls from high profile, like how does it even come to be really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a major occurrence for us, even though we are in the heart of Nashville. But yeah. When it happens, of course, we use a lot of discretion. We make sure that the family is given not preferential treatment, but very, very important treatment, making sure that we realize that, of course, they're going through a lot. We don't want to bombard them with, with anything having to do other than taking care of their loved one.
Right, exactly. You've got to keep the line of professionalism and know that they'll be taken care of just like any other family. But typically, if you have a high profile person, like it's going to be a large service or there's going to be extra details that need to go into it be based on security and whatever else. So cool. I'd imagine there was the music on the actual funeral. I'm sure the country music was flowing and it was a beautiful scene, I'd imagine.
It was great. It was so great. And in fact, she sent this really cool floral arrangement that's in the shape of like a huge wheel and lots of silk and fresh flowers adorning it. It was quite something else. I might have to show you later.
Yeah, you have to send that to me so I can take a look at it. What an amazing thing. So, you're in Nashville now. You started your career, as it seems, in Los Angeles. I'd love to know about your, I guess, your career, like the transition from going from LA to where you are now and everything in between.
So I went to Cypress College for mortuary school, graduated in 2015 with my associates, and then went back for my bachelor's in 2018.
It's really nice.
Yeah, I really, I mean, my whole family, we're all educators, except me. I'm the only funeral director. And there's such a high importance of education. Yeah. And yeah, I got my apprenticeship with the prestigious Forest Lawn Group of funeral homes out there in Southern California, primarily the Glendale location, the most gorgeous cemetery and funeral home I've ever been to, truly in my career. And was there for 2 years for my apprenticeship, and then stayed on another few years, almost 5 years, for my funeral, not funeral directors, but embalmers career. And then we were just getting so tired of beating down California because it was so expensive, and people were crazy a little bit out in California. So we we have family out in Arizona, so we thought, oh, well, why don't we just take this next step and go out of state, in the meantime, while we're looking maybe for somewhere else. I didn't think it was going to be permanent, but that's when the pandemic started. We moved there in 2020, I think February 2020. We stayed there for a year and a half, and then something was put on my heart as we were looking at somewhere else to go, because this was not a permanent place for us. Something called out to me and said, hey, how about look at Tennessee, look at Nashville, because number one, my son's autistic. We needed a lot of resources, and both my husband and I just needed something more. Me, something more in my career, and the same for him. And lo and behold, here we are 2 years later in Nashville.
That's amazing. You've made that transition from Southern California, Arizona, Nashville, and you could come up to Chicago. You're just making that
That
way
loop,
up
right?
northeast. Yeah, exactly. Well, what does your husband do?
Right now he works for Costco. He loves it.
Nice. Good deal. Yeah, that's great. It's good to have that, balance in a relationship. And obviously, your child or children super important to you, and that's a lot of funeral directors. I think it's so imperative that we keep that family life just super close and connected, because we see how it is every single day of our lives. Families interacting in the most challenging and difficult of moments, and some of them live it, trying to grasp on for one more moment or one more memory. We could feel that and sense it with our own family, so we can bring that intention every day to keep it close and keep it special with the people that we love most. So I love that you said that family is such an important thing for me too, as I'm sure it is for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, my husband and my child, they're my whole world. My son is four, and he's just the light of my life, truly.
I love it. That and Dolly Parton. She could be fourth on the list.
Right.
Amazing. How did you start your career then, Yasi? Like, how did you get into funeral service in the first place? Your family's all educators, so it's a quite a different path that you've taken.
So I've always wanted to do this since I was literally a little girl. Yeah. Long story
Why?
short, so when I, well, I don't know. know. But when I was growing up, I had a huge fascination, as a lot of us, especially embalmers, do, with like ancient Egyptians and embalming and stuff like that. And when I was little, my mom would take me to the library. And do you remember reading Rainbow?
No. Well, what's that?
It's a show. I think it was on PBS, where the host would read a different book each episode and talk more on that topic. Well, this time around, he went to like the Boston Historical Museum, I believe, and talked on the subject of mummies. And yeah, the book that they read, it was called like Mummies Made in Egypt. And every time we went to the public library, I would tell my mom, I want to rent that, that videotape. I'm just so fascinated. And it just kind of stemmed from there. I think like a lot of us did, an ancient Egyptian phase. And then I got into middle and high school. And then I realized, oh, you can actually do this for a living. Yeah, it's cool because I actually got into like different like funerary customs. And, of course, I was a little goth and emo kid, still am. So that didn't help me at all. But at the same time, going into funeral service, I didn't think, oh, this is going to be lucrative. Oh, you're not going to be successful. So my second option was to go into like nursing, and specifically like hospice nursing. Because my mother-in-law is actually a hospice nurse, and she's talked more on the subject of what she's experienced over the years. I'm thinking, well, maybe that's the closest thing I can get while still being successful in life. But I had a coming to Jesus moment and figured out that's not going to make me happy. My true focus is mortuary science. And so it was a pretty quick shift. I talked to my school counselor and got on the path to mortuary science, which thankfully those, credentials are still pretty similar, like in healthcare and mortuary science. And I signed up for mortuary school, and then lo and behold, I got accepted. And 10 years ago, this year is when I began my journey in mortuary school.
Wow, how exciting. Congrats. That's a huge accomplishment. And it seems like you found your path and you got to follow your passion. It's the absolute key for people that are in this industry. If this is what you're meant to do and you feel that, like that's the way you got to go. And some people, if it's not, or you lose it, like you go other ways. But if you feel that calling, it's such a special industry to be in. And there's so much that we can give back. And that's one of my favorite parts about it. I was in Manchester last year doing that. I don't know if you saw, I did that Hot Wheels thing where I got to go on TV, and it was a whole special thing.
That's awesome.
It was cool. It was cool. And anyway, it was in Manchester, and they had this history museum there that had this sweet mummy exhibit, and it was like half of the whole museum. So on one of my days, I like went over there and got to check it out, and it was super interesting and cool. So I understand the draw to that, and it's that transition from, I mean, generations and generations, even further than that, into what we're doing now, to have that draw and that connection to what they were doing back then to now, and see the correlation, the differences, and how life hasn't changed too much, I guess, when you boil it down to that respect, as far as the human body. It's super cool to think about and to contemplate and connect with.
Absolutely.
That's great. So tell me a little bit more about what you do on a day-to-day basis. Are you more in the prep room side of things, or are you in front of families, or what do you prefer?
Well, I don't have a preference. I like having that good balance of both, but right now in the season that we're in, I'm more front of house. Just trying to meet with more families and trying to manage that up in the front. But once in a while, if in the care center there's a high demand for help, I'll go back there and I'll help. We've got a couple of students that are coming in trying to learn to embalm, and so I like to help out and teach them. But my other funeral director that I work with, she's amazing in the care center too, and so she's still coming into her own and gaining that confidence, and I want her to continue to do that. So my main focus is at front of house right now.
That's cool. And it seems like you have that interest, from just speaking with you, that interest in educating. So it would be such a nice thing for you to have some young apprentices underneath you, so you could groom them and help them, whether it's in the prep room or whether it's with families too, because it seems like that's sort of in your blood.
Absolutely. Yeah, my dad was a college educator. He passed away last year.
I'm sorry.
And oh, that's all right. My mom, she just retired from being a kindergarten teacher of however many years. And my
Look,
sister is a college educator.
that's special.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Oop, that's a death call here. Hold on just a second. All right, I think the students got it. I'm sorry about that. You know, we've been seeing a lot more business come in ever since we started mortuary marketing. And I gotta tell you, all the funeral homes we work with are they're saying the same thing. So what do? We run ads on Google and other similar sites that get directed at families that need a funeral home in your area. It then brings them to a page that we've designed for you that gets the family to call you to inquire for your services. It's really increased our volume big time. It's working for my funeral home, and I think most parlors could really benefit from its uses. I put a bunch of information in the podcast description. Go check it out. I'm always happy to help talk with you and answer any questions you might have. All right, let's get back to our morbid discussion. So let's hear your most infamous story then, I guess, that doesn't have to do with front of the house. Maybe something behind the scenes. You've had some experience in the prep room. We always love to hear what people are getting into. Maybe we can take something for ourselves and use it in our own way. Do you have any good stories that you've gone through over the years?
I'm sure I do. I can't pinpoint one right now. I just know that, in my time doing all this, I just know that I got the best experience as an apprentice. I really learned, as I tell everybody, from the masters of embalming. And I know that there's a lot of details in the care center that I kind of want to keep a little bit more private. So I'll just say I love embalming. I love what I do back there, and it's such an honor and a ministry to do that.
It sure is. It's not for everyone either. So if you have that passion for it, it's good to stick with it. And then, like right now, what you're doing, you have a balance of being front of the house and being behind the scenes, which is such an important thing for what we have to do every single day.
Absolutely. Front of house, I will say, is definitely more entertaining because of being close one-on-one with the families and hearing all their tea and just
Oh yeah.
encountering the personalities of everybody that you meet with. It's quite fascinating. No one day is, the same.
Absolutely, it's not. Every day is different, and that's part of the draw to being a funeral director, in my opinion, is that you're not doing the same monotonous task. You're always getting new curveballs and little things, and it makes it more interesting and makes it a little bit more complex, which is super cool. How do you like Nashville? What's going on there, and how do you enjoy where you're at working now?
I love Nashville. I'm actually in a suburb of Nashville, about 30 minutes away from downtown, or Nashville proper, as people like to call it out here.
Got it.
And I've been to downtown once and one and done. It's just like downtown Los Angeles, just like Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm not going back. No, thank you.
I was telling you this before we started talking, before we recorded. I went there for a bachelor party, and it was such a good time. Like, Nashville was a blast, and it is the most comparable city, I would say, to Las Vegas, besides the gambling aspect, as far as the atmosphere. Nashville would be just up there with it. It was very fun and very intense at the same time. It was packed with people, but I mean, it's a good time. It's fun. What do you think it was about Nashville that drew you there in the first? I know you said you had this feeling. What was it? What was that feeling?
I heard good things also about Tennessee, just how down in the South, they're very family oriented. People are so friendly, and there's really a true community out here that I've come to realize that people actually care about each other. Whereas, like, different parts of the world that I've lived in, people, you're important, I guess. But truly, out here, I've been surrounded and blessed by so many people, especially my management team that brought me out here. They're actually the ones that interviewed me and that weekend said, "Hey, you want to come out and see us?" And I'm like, "This weekend?" They said, "Well, yeah, we'll get you a plane ticket and we'll fly you out here just to meet the team." And I'm like, "Great, sure." And lo and behold, that was it. That sealed the deal for me.
How cool. And that's such a key thing too, from a funeral home standpoint is you want to have that sense of community. And I know it's just so different wherever you go, whether you're in a bigger city, you're on the coast, you're in the Midwest, the South, wherever you are, throughout the world, even every little community is so different. And it seems like you have a lot of experience in different types of situations, which makes you probably such a well-rounded funeral director for getting to deal with anything that comes across your plate.
I do certainly try, and I do try to draw different positive aspects from different people that I've worked with. And I also still want to continue to grow and learn, as I'm sure, you know, those that are worth their salt in our industry still want to do. Like, for example, I know that my workplace really wants to send me to the Verney Fountain Academy coming up.
Nice.
So that would be truly another highlight of my career. If I could put that in my book, that'd be an honor.
It's the key. You always have to be learning and educating. It's one of the reasons I like to do this podcast, because I learn from anyone and everyone. It doesn't matter who you are in funeral service. You could be a big time player. You could be someone that's literally in mortuary school. It doesn't matter. You could learn tidbits from everyone and hone in on your own craft just to become better, so you can better serve the families. And there's something about progression. I think that's always but an important thing for me is, like, I want to get better, whatever it is I'm doing, whether it's being a funeral director or being in marketing, which I am now too, or doing this podcast, or making stupid videos or whatever it is.
Which, like, they're really entertaining, by the way. They're fun.
I appreciate it. Whatever it is, like, you want to be getting better, just like you, like being a mom or being a funeral director, like all those things are so important. And when you feel like you're moving towards a higher goal, and just, I don't know, for me, that does it. Like, that's all I need to be do is working towards something, because that's what life is all about, in my opinion, is just working towards your goals. And once you get them, set bigger goals and just keep it rolling.
Yeah. How did you get into the marketing aspect of everything? I'm kind of curious about that.
Sure. Yeah. So my brother and I wanted to start something in funeral service. Our family comes from four generations of funeral service. So it's 102 years now this year. And my brother Connor comes from marketing advertising. He worked for Walt Disney Company. He was at ABC, ESPN, a few other spots. And we just decided that, like, hey, we both have very special, different talents that would be very useful in an industry that needs a little bit of a kickstart sometimes. You know, we lag behind in what is the best, most up-to-date. And that's where we started with it. And it's been super exciting, just because we get to do a little bit of what we love. Like, I still get to be very much in funeral service, and I still work for my funeral home as well, but I still get to be in the weeds with it. But at the same time, also, like, helping funeral homes increase and do better with business. That's something that I'm really drawn to. I've always have been, is the business side of funeral service, which is so intricate and different than all other businesses. So it's been a cool, very cool experience to get to do a little bit of that.
Awesome. That's so cool.
Thank you. I appreciate it. What are your goals? Like, what is your career trajectory? Like, what would you like to be doing in the future?
I'll tell you what, up to. So I really want to go back and get my master's. I believe there's really nothing in funeral service for, like, a master's degree. Mm-hmm. So I want to say I think it's called thanatology, I believe.
Yes. Study of death. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I think it's so fascinating. I know it's a long process, but, you know, maybe someday in the future.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's a solid goal. Then what would be after that for you?
I really want to teach at a mortuary school.
Yeah. Yeah. I could,
you know, circling back to being an educator.
That makes sense. And I could see that and feel that presence from you too. Would you want to be more of an in-person teacher, or do you like the online aspect of what speaks to you more so?
Either or. I really had a good experience with Cypress College out in California. I will say that was the most intense but most fun I've ever had at school.
Really? Tell me about it.
So it was fast-paced. Mortuary school is all fast-paced. It's all brand new information. And, you know, just getting you prepared for everything in the real world is not only a task that they have, but they just want to make sure that you're the right fit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I really felt like I I fit in, and you know, this is the right decision for me. And taking that positivity, I want to encourage the future generation of mortuary students, especially since there's a lot of women that are joining the workforce, which is awesome. I want to be a positive role model if I can, you know what I mean?
No doubt about it. I think it's such a fun path that you could take in a career too, is like you establish yourself as a funeral director, and then it's like, hey, I want to help other people do exactly what I've done in my career so that they can pay it forward. It's a way of just paying it forward in a different sort of way.
Absolutely.
What classes would you like to teach? And we're talking your dream scenario now, where we're dreaming. So what would it be for you?
I would say I'd like to do embalming the textbook aspect of it and also the lab portion of it. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Even just the introductory classes, because I loved learning the history of funeral directing.
That'd be good for you.
Yeah, just the background of it all. And it's so funny, my other funeral director that I work with, she brought all of her mortuary books to another, one of our students that we are teaching right now. And I looked through one of them. I think it was the Ralph Klicker American History of Funeral or something like that. And I'm like, whoa, it's been such a long time since I've cracked open this book and all this information I completely forgot. It's wild.
It probably all came flowing back to you. It's like, I'm gonna dive in deep and get into my notes from 10 years ago.
Well, and I told her, like, it's such common knowledge, and now it's second nature to us, just being, doing this for such a long time, that when we were first in this in school, like, I didn't understand the GPL, I didn't understand the FTC rule, none of that. I was just like, yeah, whatever, I guess if I have to learn it, I have to learn it, but it's so integral to what we do every day.
It is. And I think when you're in mortuary school, you brush those sections over a little bit. And it's like, oh, okay, this is what it is. And it's like, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, let me get back to like focusing on learning how to embalm and like how to meet with families. Like, that's what I need. But those kind of
Exactly.
stuff is so important too. Like, that's everything. If you need to have a great grasp on that for a million reasons, whether you're with families or someone calling on the phone trying to get their prices, you need to know how to handle those situations so you can, I mean, I guess best serve the families and best serve your funeral home so you can increase your business for your funeral home too, because that's a big part of it too, is knowing how to explain it in the appropriate manner so that a family can understand their options and their pricing, and that way they're best served too.
Absolutely. And I will say that's kind of the good thing without dropping the name of my funeral home, that we have done a great job at teaching our staff, number one, phone etiquette. That's huge, especially with our first responders that answer the phone for like first calls and everything, shopper calls. And we really invest in our employees, just making sure that we're bringing up the best of the best people, because where I work, we've been around. Well, the cemetery I know is historical, has been around for almost 300 years. We're such a staple in the community, and we want to continue doing that and keep getting those good reviews and keep serving our community as best we can. I'm very proud of that.
That's great. I think that's so such a special thing and a great thing for you to be a part of, someone that wants to give back to their employees and help them get better. It's such a good way to go about business because you're bringing in solid talent and then you're growing them too. And like we talked about earlier, like everyone likes that feeling of getting better and growing. And that's a way for your employer to help you out and say, hey, I want to facilitate your growth to becoming a better funeral director, a better person, whatever it might be, and increase your knowledge.
Exactly. And you just want to feel like at the end of the day, you're doing a good job, because I know a lot of us have imposter syndrome. I know I do sometimes. I just want to know that did I do the best that I could possibly do? Did this family feel safe and comfortable with me as their funeral director? You just want to continue to succeed. That's the bottom line.
That's so interesting you say that imposter syndrome, because we're a lot of times unsung heroes and we don't get quite the credit maybe that we deserve. I'm not saying like I'm doing that in quotes, like it's not that we deserve it, we're doing our job to the best of our ability, but we are putting in so much effort, so it is easy to feel that imposter syndrome because you don't know a lot. Most of the time the family is not going to make you aware if your job is done to the best or to their standard, but as long as you keep plugging along, like you're going to get that compliment every once in a while, and that's going to make your week. And, you know, of
Yes.
course, but that means everything. So you got to keep fighting for those little moments where the family is just so happy with you. And that probably means that almost all of them are, but they're just going through a loss and it's not the highest on their priority, whatever. We can give them any excuse you want to hear.
Well, and that's something I also learned too, is you can't take it personal if a family is just off-putting or just not reciprocating, I guess, that warmth that you're trying to give to them. Yeah. And that's okay. You know, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, because every family or every person grieves in a different way. So you have to just be understanding of that and say, hey, if you're going to take out your anger at me, I can take it on the chin for a few days and then you're going to be out of here.
Now, when you start calling me names, then that's when we're going to start throwing hands. I'm just kidding.
Hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do out there. You got to take care of yourself, too.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Yasi, thank you so much for joining us today. What a fun time. And we loved having you on, love talking to you. And we're wishing you nothing but the best, your husband, your son, and your career. Hopefully, all of our teachers at Moultrie School that are listening, give a little plug to Yasi. Maybe she would want to join you someday.
Absolutely. Please, 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 someday.